3. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of John, but we'll also poke our noses into Matthew and Mark and Luke as well. Begin with one verse, the ninth verse of the third chapter of John tonight. John 3:9 says, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, you're a patient God and you're a loving, kind God, merciful God. You're gentle with your people, Father, and I thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, that you call us before your throne of grace and you tell us to be bold coming to you, Lord, asking questions and seeking answers, Father. But help us to know when you've answered. Help us to accept those answers, Lord, and help us to live out what you direct us by those answers. Bless this word to us tonight, Father, and help us to understand when it's appropriate to ask and when it's appropriate always, Lord, just to receive your answer and go forward. We give you the glory tonight. Be honored, I pray, in this word. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. People have been questioning God since the very beginning, since the advent of humanity, certainly. They've been questioning anything regarding God, well, beginning with his existence. Is there a God? Is there really this all-powerful, almighty being? People who understand that there is a God or believe that there is a God question his motives, question his methods, question his ways, question his purposes, question his character. I was talking with Judah the other day, and he mentioned that someone he was speaking with said that God was cruel to cast Adam and Eve out of the garden. People question the things that God does by man's, well, by man's standards. Somehow we feel like it's okay sometimes to hold God to our standards instead of holding ourselves to the standard that Jesus sets forward for us. Regardless, we understand that it's not right to do so, but man continues to do it. We've questioned God from the very beginning. Just about everything pertaining to him has come into question and, consideration and scrutiny from the beginning. I think that we can see that very clearly in the life of Jesus. Jesus himself being the proof of God's existence, being in himself testifying to God's methods, testifying to God's characters, his life itself presenting and being a manifestation of who God is. He embodied everything there. He spoke of his purposes, taught on his methods. The Lord is, he was the exhibit. This is God's character in man form. That's who Jesus was. And yet he was questioned by other men, by other people, by other women. Well, by people. They were scrutinizing his ways, scrutinizing his methods. People in the house of faith and people that had no faith at all. For this brief lesson tonight, I trust that it's brief, even though we have a number of scriptures we're going to look at. I'm going to take this kind of just very concise approach, just this focused approach in looking at how mankind has questioned God. And because even in scripture, there are so many examples and so many accounts and so many demonstrations from the Old Testament to the New Testament. How many times? I mean, it takes no time at all in Exodus and Numbers to just look and see that Israel not only questioned God, but criticized God, criticized God's tools, his vessels in Moses and you know, those ones who were given to demonstrate and to lead God's people. I had to pare it all down because there's so many questions there. We're just going to look in the New Testament, and we're going to pare it down to just times when people questioned Jesus or things pertaining to Jesus. And because those are so broad and we couldn't look at all of those or even a small amount of those, we're going to pare that down into those times when, they just asked questions regarding Jesus and they said, "How?" in those circumstances and those questions. Questions of how as they pertained to Jesus. Now, I don't want to confuse you, so we'll just turn to Luke chapter 1. I'll give you an example there of just what we're looking at here. Just questions pertaining to Jesus himself. Jesus' teachings, Jesus' existence, Jesus' methods, whatever the case might be. How people questioned something pertaining Jesus and used the term how in that question. Now, not all of them are going to see, as we look in Luke chapter 1, not all of them were malicious. Not all of them had, you know, real doubt and skepticism and all of that sort of thing. Some people said, how, ... in regards to something pertaining to Jesus out of simple curiosity or simple shock, I guess you could say. From the very first news of his soon arrival, we see here in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. It pertains to Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? See, people can be surprised, people can be shocked, people can be just simply curious. How can this unnatural thing happen when the natural process hasn't occurred? How can this be in regards to Jesus? Again, not always are they hateful and incredulous, but we also know as we walk through the Gospels in Jesus' time here, we see that they are indeed hateful and incredulous as well. Not always, but we're going to look at these ones where they question Jesus. And they use this term how in doing so. Let's look at the first one, Matthew chapter 21. I guess we just looked at the first one in Luke 1, but let's look at the next one, Matthew 21, verse 19. I have these in biblical order for you, so it'll be easy to turn to them, I trust. But we'll look at Matthew 21, then we'll flip to Mark, and then we'll jump to John for a number of them there. Matthew chapter 21, I won't give you all the context. You'll probably be able to pull it out of just the, just the verses that you hear here. Yeah, study it out for yourself as well. But look where there are questions here of the Lord Jesus and his things. Seeing a fig tree, we're picking up Matthew 21, 19, by the road. Jesus came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? How did this thing that just happened, that Jesus did right before us, how did this occur? You see what we're looking at tonight. Mark chapter 2 and verse 16. Mark 2 and verse 16, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? How? How is it that Jesus can do this? What are his motivations? What is his justification for this? Even though they're looking right at it, perhaps had heard his justification for it. Let's move to John, the book of John. I don't know why, but there are a number of questions of Jesus' character, his methods, a number of these types of questions that we're looking at tonight in John. It seems like it's a larger amount there. I don't know if it's because, John had a love for Jesus that we can study and we can recognize that was reciprocated. And perhaps he was just more sensitive to this, so he recorded perhaps more of these. But we see in John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Moving on to the third chapter. Again, not giving all of the context. It's just the fact that these questions are asked regarding Jesus or of Jesus. John 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And we know from the opening passage that we read that Nicodemus answered and said to him later, how can these things be? That's where we drew that from. How can this be, these things that you are teaching here? Move on to the sixth chapter, three chapters to the right. Verse 41, John chapter 6, verse 41 and 42. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? How can he possibly say this? What is he talking about? In verse 52, down the page, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See a pattern here, yes? One chapter over, John chapter 7 and verse 14. John 7 verse 14 says, "Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied? How does he have this wisdom? How does he speak with this authority? How does he know this word that he's presenting to us, having not studied?'" Chapter 9 and verse 16. John 9 verse 16, and then we'll go to the 12th chapter to conclude this focus here. "Therefore some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.'" We know that Jesus is the Sabbath, yes? "Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there is a division among them." The how is encroaching outside of being curious, being simply shocked, and it's getting involved in, well, that's blasphemous, isn't it, to call Jesus a sinner? John chapter 12 and verse 34 to finish this up. "Then the people answered him," John 12:34, "'We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?'" Now again, I don't give you all of the context for all of these, and you've been a student of the Word perhaps for long enough that you recognize each of these accounts and you can fill in the context for yourself. But the focus of it isn't the context. The focus is that the questions were asked in the first place. Not necessarily perhaps looking at Jesus saying, "How can you say this?" Although some of them did that. But the fact that, well, the ones that Jesus had a hand in creating, well, I'll say it, had the audacity to question the Creator. How can this be so? Again, Mary wasn't chastised or corrected when she said, "How can this be? I've never known a man. How can it be that I'm going to bear this one?" She wasn't wrong in asking that. It's a valid question. The questions that we see here, they range, right? They range from simple shock to absolute, well, vitriol against the Lord. And these are only a fraction of the questions that mankind has of the Lord Jesus. And whether it comes from awe, or whether it comes from doubt, or whether it comes from faith or faithlessness, people do and will question God. I just mentioned a moment ago, we're called to come directly, boldly to the throne of grace, and we can ask our Father questions. He tells us, "Let your requests be made known to God." That's what we're called to do. And oftentimes our request can and should be, "Lord, can I have some understanding on this? Because I have no understanding in this." And sometimes he says, "No, what you have to know, I've given. And what I don't want you to know is for another time, if at all." And that's when we say, okay. But the fact of the matter is whether he tells us more of what we want to know, or he refuses to tell us more of what we're asking, he's given us enough to know in regards to that situation. And if that is nothing, it's enough. It's enough. "How can this be so, Lord?" "Trust me." Done. Okay. Nothing more? Nothing more. Fine. If you look at the context, and again, I'm not going to go back, but if you look at each one of these verses that we looked at, Jesus was kind in answering each one of these questions. Some of them he didn't answer he didn't coddle anybody. And he didn't just go overboard wrapping people up and saying, there, let me explain to you. Because the fact of the matter is, as many of these questions he had already explained and already given plenty of answer that these ones should have known. But the fact is that what God answers to us when we say, "How can this be so?" or "How is this pertinent to our day?" or "How can this 2,000-year-old parts of it, 2,000-year-old story, some of it much, much older than that. How can that pertain to us? How can it apply? How can this have happened? How? And the Lord explains those things in the Word, and those things that he doesn't give to our satisfaction, well, that's just okay. It doesn't have to be satisfying to us. He tells us enough. I understand that the Lord is not willing that anyone be ignorant that doesn't choose to be. And I'll go so far again as to say that he expects us not to be ignorant when we don't have to be. When he has told us things, and these ones who say, "How can it be so? How can you say that you are bread from heaven?" Did you listen to what I was saying? Let me express it to you again. Do you see what I have done? Do you correlate this with the books of Isaiah, the books of Daniel, with the books of this and this and this, to see the promises that are being fulfilled right before your eyes. Yeah. That's what the Lord does. He demonstrates to us and he speaks to us and he answers those how questions. I'll tell you what else he does. Jesus asks how in return. Not necessarily in that situation, not necessarily in that specific context, although he does. When they question him, he might question them back. But look at these times when Jesus said, well, had his own questions of how. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. I'm lost here. There we go. Matthew 26, verse 52. This is in the garden. When he was arrested, Peter struck off the ear of that servant of the high priest. Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled? The scriptures that you should know, Peter, that it must happen thus. He asks him the question. How can this that I've told you is going to happen? How can this that I've, the sequence of events that's in process right now, right before you, how can this happen if this isn't so? Luke 6:42, how can you say to your brother, he says. Jesus says, or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. And he goes on in that vein. Luke chapter 9 and verse 41. This is when a mute or an unclean spirit in a boy was brought to him. They couldn't heal him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here, he said. And then in Mark chapter 4, and I'm sorry I'm bouncing all over the place, but there it is printed for you. You know what this account was. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, those ones who woke him up, and said, we perish, don't you care? How is it that you have no faith, he said. Meaning that through the scripture already given, and through the word that he had been speaking and preaching and demonstrating and living out to them, how could they not understand who he was? How could they not understand what he had already offered them? How could they not understand? How could they ask how a number of those times? When Jesus asks how, it's different than when man asks how. It's never out of shock. It's never out of surprise. He never says it with malice and venom. He never says it without already knowing the answer. But I also believe that he doesn't ask us, how can this be so? How can you do this? If he hasn't already given us the answer and already given us what he expected that we should know. Saints, I have a how question myself. A question of how. How in the world does the all-powerful God show such patience with us? How in the world does the Almighty God show such long suffering with different ones? All of us in certain times, all of us in certain experiences, and all of us are guilty of it. But how is he so patient when he could just wipe us clean, start over even if he wanted to? How in the world is he willing to do that? And he answers, read this, learn who I am, recognize what I've been to you, and understand that that's who I am to everybody. Kind, patient, gracious, and loving, and leave it at that. Don't question that anymore. Saints, whether it's in awe, or whether it's in doubt, or sincerity, or incredulity, whatever it might be, people have questioned God. I've questioned God, questioned things and methods and pertinence. Lots of times, but I believe that he's answered his questions quite satisfactorily by his word and by the Spirit. And if he hasn't answered them and he's willing to do so, I need to listen. I need to listen and be satisfied and not continue to ask how of those, well, those same questions repeatedly. But whatever we do, don't prompt him to ask you. Don't prompt him to say, may our questions not be those ones that prompt him to say, how can you be of so little faith? How can you question me in this when I have demonstrated it here, and I have spoken it here, and I have spoken it here, and wherever else he might have shared? Saints, Take care with your questioning of the Lord. Always come boldly to the throne of grace. But understand when he says, I've spoken to you, I have nothing more to say on the matter, whatever the case might be satisfied with it. Be satisfied with it and leave it with him.